This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful.
والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So we obviously up against time, and I think I have made this clear, and inshallah I pray that I reiterate my sentiments that we're not to walk out of here saying that I have completed 30 verses or I've memorized X amount, but we're asking and hoping and praying and wishing that we've connected with the Quran. A companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked for advice, and you can see this in Ibn Kathir. Maybe we can just ask that those that have questions now, they can just halt it there. Not that I want to exclude any questions, but there's a fair chunk here and time is against us, and sometimes while speaking it could just interrupt the atmosphere. So if the brothers and sisters could, you know, just keep it, and let's see if the time permits, then inshallah we will try and engage with it. If not, then, you know, we'll have to explore it at some other time, etc. So a person came to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked for advice, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited one verse: فَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever does an atom of good will see it. Whoever does an iota of evil will have to contend with its consequences. He will have to live and see it. He said, يَكْفِينِ ذَرَّتَانِ. Oh, these two atoms are sufficient advice for the rest of my life. This is enough. That's it. And I gave a talk very recently, and it was one of my talks after Ramadan. I think we uploaded it on the app as well, where I spoke about different examples of how the Sahaba had this amazing ability to instantly and permanently detach from evil and embrace virtue. And for us, it's a very, very gradual and long-drawn process. We just cannot do this immediately and instantly. And the Sahaba could do it once and it was done. So there is this Fudail bin Umair bin Mulawwih. Hafiz ibn Qayyim has mentioned it in Zadul Ma'ad, in the third volume on page 363, that he was a potential assassin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came close up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making tawaf, and this man came close, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afudala, you fudala, right?" He's like, "Yeah, that's me." And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his blessed hand on his chest. "Mada kunta tuhadithu bihi nafsak?" What are you thinking about? "No, nothing much, nothing much. Just by the way." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, speak up, revelation will expose it." And at that time he was busy planning and orchestrating to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, when the Nabi of Allah put his hand on my chest, obviously we don't have that spirituality and we don't have the Nabi of Allah, but we do have his teachings. And suddenly I felt tranquility permeating my entire body. فَسَكَنَ قَلْبِي. I was just like, just settle and peace and calm. And I say to people, and you would know, when a person intends sin, restlessness kicks in. Not committing the sin, just the thought, you just orchestrated and planning and deliberating and trying, how I'm going to juggle and do this, already you would find depression would grip your heart. Uneasiness, restlessness. Okay, there is this adrenaline pumping into you because I'm going to do it like this and I want to go and all that. Yeah, so momentarily you get that kick. But after you commit that sin, you hit a bigger low than what you were in before the sin. If you were depressed prior to the sin, after that you are 100 times more depressed. You're like, where am I and what's happening with my life? Where am I? And I think somebody had asked that question. It half kind of answers that question. So anyway, it says, then I I repented and lamented and I embraced the faith. Now he's a fresh Muslim. He's a new Muslim. He's a recent revert. He says, I walked by and I passed by a woman with whom we had an old relationship. We had an illicit relationship. And we used to get together and we used to chat and the usuals used to happen. So I pass by and she obviously entices me and she invites me. But she doesn't know I have turned a page in my life. She doesn't know I have made a new commitment with myself. Can I say she doesn't know that I've attended the discourse of Surah Mulk? I'm a different person. I have made choices with my life. So as he passes and she says, come Fudala, let's chat and let's have time. قَالَتْ هَلُمَّ إِلَى الْحَدِيثِ فَقُلْتُ لَا يَأْبَى عَلَيْكِ اللَّهُ وَالْإِسْلَامُ لَوْ رَأَيْتِ مُحَمَّدًا وَقَبِيلًا بِالْفَتْحِ يَوْمَ تُكْسَرُ الْأَسْنَامُ لَرَأَيْتِ دِينَ اللَّهِ أَضْحَى بَيِّنًا وَالشِّرْكُ يَغْشَى وَجْهَهُ الْإِظْلَامُ. I said, sister, I'm not the Fudala you know. I have met the greatest human. I have embraced his faith. I have accepted his creed. I have reverted to his Islam. I will not entertain, indulge, or commit, or perpetrate adultery or infidelity or illicit relation. And if you allow me the moment, I would introduce you to the very beauty of Islam. Join me and become a believer. Subhanallah, this was their spirit. Now for us, unfortunately, it is a very, very slow process. Time pass, age moves on, and we're still deliberating, and before we know, we've lost our grip and we have not achieved it. So we need to make that commitment of trying to effect the change in our life immediately. May Allah grant us that understanding. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. So this is again another approach of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds you, listen, I'm asking you politely, I'm telling you in a gentle tone, but if you don't get your act together, I can strike at any time. I can strike at any time. You know, every relation in this world is both sided. This is what I say. Although one is more dependent on the other, right? A father tells his son, listen, don't have that attitude, I can teach you a lesson. But the father also knows he needs the child. The child needs the father, the parent more, but the parent also needs the child. That is, the person is married and just got newly married. How are you? Oh, alhamdulillah, you know, it's the best thing. I don't know why it took me so long to get married. Someone said, don't praise marriage on the third day, praise it on the third year. And then you met him after 3 years, brother, how are you doing? Hey, I don't know what I did in my life. I don't know what I did in my life. Like last time you might say, hey, I don't know why it took me so long, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's just so amazing. I mentioned this in my talks. When we get married, the sunnah is, and we come back to marriage again, right? And I have no problems in my marriage. I'm just saying this here. I'm a happy married man, alhamdulillah. I'm a happy married man. My wife, may Allah bless her. I've said it to her, she's a much better person than I am. She contends with my travels, with my dealing with social cases, with my public appearance, and I need to remind myself of her favors, and may Allah give her all the rewards of whatever little things I do, because I believe without them, we cannot. They say, behind every successful woman, there's a woman. So you know, increase your success, get married to another woman. So I'm not saying that, right? No, I'm not saying that. Subhanallah, what was I saying? Coming back to marriage. And what were we saying in marriage? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Anyway, whatever it is. But another point that I can mention here on marriage, while I am saying on marriage, they say that when your partner makes a mistake, don't rub it in, rub it out. When your partner makes a mistake, don't rub it in. Don't drive the thing. Try and erase it. That's the way we move forward. So the point that we were saying here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, this is the point that I wanted to say, is that every relation is two-sided. Two-sided. One is more than the other, but every relation, it's interdependent. A partner, a wife, is in need of her spouse. A husband is in need of his wife. A child to the parent to the child. Employer to the employee. And today if you meet a man, You say, brother, mashallah, so-and-so is working for you. No, he's not working for me, man. I'm just carrying him, man. Doing him a favor. Just, you know what, he's a liability. We're just taking care of him now. He's a Muslim brother, so we're giving him a job. Oh, my mashallah, may Allah bless you. Then you meet the employee, you say, I believe you're working for him. What working for him? I'm running the whole floor. I'm operating the whole thing. That man can only fly because I'm there. Without me, he's at a zero. You know what, I do the buy and I do the imports. I operate the whole floor. I manage the whole thing. Subhanallah. According to that man, he's carrying you, you're a liability. According to you, you're running the whole floor. So heaven knows what is the truth. But when the relation comes between us and Allah, we need Allah totally and He doesn't need us at all. In everything else, I need you, you need me. One can play hardball, the other one can play tough. Sometimes your dependence is greater this way, sometimes it is the other way. So a couple gets married, house life, alhamdulillah, very good. After 3-4 years, how are you doing? Hey, make dua, man, we're lonely, make dua, Allah bless us with a child, man, really it's hard, man, make dua, you know, we're desirous, we're optimistic, and we pray that whoever doesn't have kids, may Allah bless them with children. Those that have children, may Allah make their children obedient. You know, I say this often, and I'll say it here, that when we don't have a bounty, then our weakness is we assume that bounty with all its privileges, minus in all its challenges. Right? So you say that I'm old now, you know, I don't have kids. If I had kids, I wouldn't have been working. No, no, my brother, ask those that have kids, they work in times too. Somebody said in today's demographics, if you want to do a workshop on parenting, it might be in your interest to invite the grandparents before the biological parents. Because the grandparents have become the nannies and the babysitters. Because often those marriages are broken up. And neither of them, both are working, neither of them taking care of those kids. The grandparents cannot see my blood, cannot see my flesh, cannot see my children. So it doesn't mean if you have children, you wouldn't have been working. Many who have children, but they're having to clear their children's liabilities. My son ran up a bill here. My son got involved in drugs, and you know what? He incurred so much cost. He crushed this whole empire. He brought it down to the ground. So this is our weakness, right? A person says, no, I don't have a car. It's so difficult. If I had a car, I would have been cruising at some exotic location. You had a car, you could have met up in an accident. You had a car, you could be at the workshop. You had a car, there could be another hiccup and a glitch. So when we don't have a bounty, we assume ownership with all its plus and all its perks, excluding all its minuses. That is so naive and foolish of us, that as if life is like this here. It's not that. A youngster who's getting married, he thinks marriage is only in the bedroom. There's a kitchen, there's a bathroom, there's a lounge, there's a yard, there's neighbors. Hey, there's more to marriage, my brother. There is much, much more to marriage. There's much more deeper than what meets the eye. It's not only one room and one fantasy. There's deeper to that here. But for now, it centers around only one thing. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us at all. Every other relation, back and forward. Come and go. Allah and His Nabi, we need them completely, permanently, totally. Allah doesn't need it. Constantly in the Quran. It's not a message, it's a theme of the Quran. Allah shows His ability and He shows that at any time He can strike. At any time. And in fact, it follows up here as well. Not just time. So we're going to just run through it, a cursory glance over it and move on. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. Do you have no fear that if you continue committing kufr and sinning, He in the heavens will cause the earth to swallow you up, after which it would quake. فَإِذَا suddenly here the earth, تَمُورُ, would rock, it would quake. And I'm sure you followed the news, it was about a month ago, and I literally had a shiver. I was sitting and I'm grateful to Allah that I was reading hadith at that time. And there was a severe quake. It measured 5.3 on the Richter scale in Johannesburg. The epicenter was in a place called Orkney. Well, there's so much happening in the world, so if it doesn't local, sometimes you're not up to speed with it. But just about a month ago, a quake had hit. And I was sitting in my dining room, and I was reading, and I actually started screaming. My cupboard shelf with my books started rocking. And I had a little ornament, and I could hear the clutter, and it carried on. And the movement was so extended that initially you think, now what's this? Am I assuming? Am I imagining? But this I consciously realized due to the intensity of it. I called my wife, she came, she felt, and it continued. Generally it's so quick
that by the time you realize it's over. No, this was the longest in my life. I know once I was in California, it was at the time of Fajr, I got up for Suhoor, and I felt this, and I said, I don't know, because you're sleeping, you don't know. And then in the morning, I asked the brothers, and it was covered in local media that yes, it was established, there was a tremor and the rest of it here. This was big in the news, and it was extended. I tweeted it immediately, and then it hit social media. We made dua, and you know, it was on the radio stations, and it went far up to Durban and other places. And subhanAllah, I'm literally seeing this thing jolting. It's actually rocking. And I'm saying, this is when you realize how you are in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, till it doesn't hit, and may none of us be exposed to it. May Allah not test us in that. You think you're safe, you think you're covered, you think you're insulated, you think you're fortified. فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ Allah can just cause the earth to quake. And before Qiyamah, one of the signs of Qiyamah is that there will be succession of quakes, one after the other. And the Prophet ﷺ said, when these natural disasters will start kick in, كَنِضَامٍ قُتِعَ سِلْكُ Look at the words of Muhammad ﷺ. It's like a twine, in which there are beads. When it breaks, how one bead follows after the other. The planet will be rocked, plagued, gripped by catastrophe, tragedy, one after the other. May Allah protect and save us all and make it easy. But this was reason. Don't you realize that if Allah wants, then He could cause the earth to swallow. And there's a hadith in Bukhari. There's a hadith in Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man was walking, clad in beautiful dress. He was feeling proud and arrogant about himself. And he was walking with this arrogance. And then Allah just ordered the earth to split and swallow him with his pride and his beauty and his arrogance. He went. And then obviously the Quran speaks about the great incident of Qarun. The Quran speaks about the great incident of Qarun. That he went up and he was walking and people looked at him in his pomp and glory. Wow, look at his car. Wow, look at his conveyance. Look at his wealth. Look at his empire. And I just to draw the parable closer to home, you've seen someone driving up and he overtakes you and he blows you away with that car. And if you go round the block and ahead by the bend, you realize that, you know what, the car has capsized and the man is lying there and he's all dead bodies. And then that very green envy that you had for him is now reduced to sympathy and empathy. You were blowing away and you wanted to put it on social media and what a car, what a speed, what a driver. And you just got close up a mile or two ahead and you realize that, ooh, the guy went through a tragedy. He couldn't negotiate the bend and the car capsized. And you know what? It's all bodies lying and it's all over. Now you sit and ask yourself, where's the envy of this here? The Quran says, Qarun was walking. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ Wow, I wish I had wealth like this. These are the words. يَا لَيْتَ I wish لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٌ This is what you call lucky. This is the words of the Quran. Verily, he's a lucky man. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ Those who had divine knowledge, they said, no. That's been hasty. That's been very, you rushing the situation. وَيْلَكُمْ woe be to you. ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ Reflect on the reward of Allah. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ Allah says he was walking. We just told the earth, give way. Oops, everything just went in. Then what happened? The Quran says, those that were envious of him yesterday, they started dreading that outcome. أَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوا مَكَانَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَقُولُونَ وَيْكَأَنَّ I was reading this a few years ago, the breakup of this word وَيْكَأَنَّ in the Arabic language, and there's so much written about it, if it is a combined or it's a single or what's its original, etc. Woe be to them, وَيْكَأَنَّ Allah. No, I've realized that Allah gives sustenance to whomsoever He wishes, and Allah can reduce it from whomsoever He wishes. Abundance of sustenance and provisions is not necessarily symbolic to a good fortune. Here we see before our eyes what had happened. Then Allah says, أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ Or do you have no fear that he in the heavens, meaning he whose command is in the heaven, مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ سُلْطَانُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَمْرُهُ Because we do not restrict Allah to a location. Allah is not confined by a location. So where Allah says in the heavens, meaning whose control is in the heavens, because Allah has mentioned, وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهُ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهُ Allah's rulership, Allah's authority, Allah's power is in the heavens, Allah's power is on the earth. Huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. Allah is with you wherever you are. So Allah cannot be contained by space or location. So He who is in the heavens, meaning He whose authority is in the heavens and on the earth at every location. Or do you have no fear that He who is in the heavens, meaning His command, His might, He should send a devastating windstorm. Hasiban hasab. Hasab in Arabic refers to stones and pebbles. So these gusty winds. Last year I was in the Caribbean, and it was just before Ramadan or in Ramadan. And then there was, you know what, there was news of a potential cyclone that was going to pass through the Caribbean. And it was just to shut down. And everything. So I said, like the shops, he says, well, that's how it is. When there is fear or there's news or there's potential and it's going to cross through and at this speed, everything just comes to a halt. And this is it. How nature can just stop everything. Huh? You're arguing, you're fighting, you're particular, you're meticulous, you want to open your shop, you want to generate your revenue, you want to maximize. But here, a tragedy hasn't struck. This fear that it might strike and it paralyzes us. All flights have been grounded. Why? There's fog in the air. There's this in the atmosphere. There's chaos on the roads here. One thing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He just unleashes. Allah unleashes only one in a quantity. And that's it. Everything, regardless of how advanced our technology is, it just comes to a shutdown and comes to a halt. And it is natural. Nobody can challenge anyone. These are the abilities of the Almighty. He reigns supreme. And all this is there for us to show our servitude, our obedience to Him, and to drop our head in gratitude and respect His absolute authority. Today, unfortunately, mankind has interfered in the systems of nature. Mankind has tried to put his fingers in places where he knows this has to happen with divine will, and divine command. And we don't want to digress into all these things. But mankind as a whole has not respected the system and the law of Mother Nature. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or do they not fear that He whose command is in the heavens should set a devastating windstorm against you? Soon, if you are destined to suffer punishment in this world, you shall come to know how true my warnings are. However, if you are not destined to suffer punishment in this world for your kufr and sins, you shall certainly see it in the akhirah. So, amintum, do you feel safe? Afa aminu makra Allah, the nine Jews, do they feel safe from the punishment of Allah? Fala ya'manu makra Allah illa al-qawmul khasirun. A believer never feels safe and secure. He never feels I can be complacent, I'm taken. At every moment, you take a person in today's world, right, because of all the illness and diseases, may Allah give us good health and afiyah and keep us in good spirit. What they say, every X amount of time, check your blood, check your cholesterol, check your sugar, do this check. If it's a woman, you got to do this check. You got to do this extra checks. Make sure all these things are taken care of. Every 2 years, every 3 years, every 6 months, every 1 year. You got to be monitoring your health all the time because there's so many things that could come out. Now, what about a believer? He constantly fears that the Almighty can strike him at any time. Do you feel safe? Then it is only the losers that feel safe. A believer never feels safe. He fears constantly. And again, the du'as of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawuli afiyatik. Allah, don't divert the privileges you've given us. Allah, don't take it away from us. In fact, I often say that today's world is so gripped in doom that some are victims of situations, right? Sickness, poverty, challenges, mug, drop, whatever it is, you know. So certain people have certain challenges because of which they go through depression. And then the other half of the world are gripped by depression because they fear being victims of those situations. So what happened is, hey, you know what? This one got sick, that one got sick. Make dua, man. I just hope I don't get sick. So they sick and depressed because of their condition, and you out of the fear that you don't get diagnosed and there isn't a prognosis on you, you got depression. In our context, in Africa, because of crime and everything, so if one house got hit by night, they obviously bad, the next house got hit, then the third night, the house that's not hit is panicking the most. It's like, you know what, it's like he had his chance, everyone had his chance, I just hope they're not targeting me. So this is what the world has become. Either you're a victim, or those fears are lurking. Those fears are lurking, that when it's going to hit home to me, and you don't know what's going to happen. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. Soon you will come to know, my punishment and my chastisement. وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. Verily those before them, before the present day disbelievers, they rejected the message of the Anbiya. So how devastating was my punishment when it arrived? Allah is asking, how devastating was it? Look. The Quran invites you repeatedly, travel the world with the eye of reflection and go to the ruins of the previous nations. In fact, the Quran reproaches the Meccans that you travel and you go to Syria and you pass by the ruins of those nations that preceded you. وَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مُصْبِحِينَ وَبِاللَّيْلِ. Morning and evening you pass by. وَإِنَّهَا لَبِسَبِيلٍ مُقِيمٍ. It's on the main highway. You have to pass it where previous nations were destroyed. Why don't you just stop for a moment and think, people lived here, dwelled here, occupied it. What happened? What happened to you? Reflect, introspect, apply your mind. هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. You hear about a ruler when he's in power, great plans, and he's going to be this dynamic man, and he's going to add flavor to the earth, and he's got this charisma. Never mind after his death, after his term is over, he's gone. You never hear of him, it's over. Where is the man? He's still living. He was the ex-president, he was the former president. Days are numbered and he's finished. When he dies, who would remember? The Quran says, هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. Those that chanted the slogans of power, might and glory, after we destroyed them, can you even hear them whisper? There's a verse of the Quran. Rikza means a sawtul khafi. Can you hear a whisper? No. وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Verily those before them, they rejected the message of the Almighty. So how devastating my punishment was when it arrived. The kuffar should learn a lesson from the destruction of the past nations and mend their ways. As-sa'idu man wu'idha bi ghayrihi. An intelligent man is one who looks around and he learns. There's too much happening. There's one thing you need to remember, brothers and sisters. I say this, and I've even read this quotation of some pious people, in fact some sahaba, that Allah's clemency and Allah's grace doesn't allow for any person to be apprehended or exposed on the first perpetration. So when you do a wrong, Allah is very kind in the sense Allah wouldn't expose you immediately. Allah gives you a chance and you know you are buying time and time is running out. You're persisting on your crime and you know it's running out, it's going to get out, the stench is going to get loud, people are going to realize, but you're carrying on and on and on. And finally, when you fail to heed it, then it comes to exposure and it comes to a break-in and a boiling point, and you say, no, I promise you it's the first time, but you know for a fact it's never the first time. The system of Allah's grace and kindness is He gives repeated chances. He gives repeated chances. You die suddenly in the sense that at that particular time, perhaps you were normal, hale and healthy, met up in a tragic accident and you died. But the build up towards that, there were 1,000 examples. There were 1,000 reminders. There were hundreds of people you buried. There were so many people around you that you know, were young and healthy and had greater plans and broader horizons, and they moved on and they gave you loud messages to say that, you know, this is the reality of life. But unfortunately, you didn't heed it. Now, looking again at the glory of Allah, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٍ. Reflect. Allah is calling you. Admire. The only being who deserves and is entitled to invite to His praises is Allah. Allah tells you, praise me, and Allah is entitled to call that. Why? Al-mustajmi' li jami'i sifatil kamaliyah. What is Allah? An embodiment of every noble attribute at its optimum level. And Allah's powers and excellency are what we say personal. They were not conferred to Allah. Any other person's, any ability doesn't warrant his praise directly, but it's rather a reflection, expression and manifestation of Allah's favor on him. It's Allah's favor on him. So he's a handsome boy. He's a beautiful woman. It's not like their parents got a different formula. It's the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's an intelligent man. Or it's not like his mother, you know, during pregnancy, she ate watermelon or she ate something else. And they come and give you all these concoctions here. You know, you must eat this and try that and avoid this and whatever. Then a brain, heaven knows. Allah blessed you with an intelligent child. Allah blessed you with this year. It's your wealth again. It's the bounty of Allah. لَوْ كَانَ بِاللُّبِّ يَزْدَادُ اللَّبِيبُ غِنًا لَكَانَ كُلُّ لَبِيبٍ مِثْلَ قَارُونِ. If it was sheer intellect that generated revenue, then every intelligent man would have had an empire like Qarun. In fact, the Arabic poet said, the proof of taqdeer and destiny is, there are many uneducated people who are so wealthy that they employ the services of the professionals. Right? وَمِنَ الدَّلِيلِ عَلَى الْقَضَاءِ وَحُكْمِهِ بُؤْسُ اللَّبِيبِ وَطِيبُ عَيْشِ الْأَحْمَقِ. The proof that sustenance is ordained by the divine decree is, you see, this man who's unintelligent, he doesn't have much. Huh? So they say the youngster went to the neurologist and he went to do a brain assessment. So he said, you see, the human brain is made up of two. It's the right and the left. You got nothing left in the right and nothing right in the left. There's nothing left in your right side and there's nothing right on your left. Anyway, it's all the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's nothing of our personal doings. And if we have any quality in us, it's an Allah-given bounty. Look at this, right? One of the most difficult situations that today the medical world is dealing with is Alzheimer's, right? Is dementia. You read about it constantly. People, short-term loss of memory. They might have long recollection of memories, but they're losing memory loss. I have known of a couple, may Allah grant them Jannah. The husband had passed away. The wife had deep diagnosis of Alzheimer's. She had lost her memory so much that she didn't realize her husband passed away. It was difficult, you know, with all the things. Till she lived for a few years after that and she didn't realize that I'm missing a man in my life. Obviously, they were old in age and mashallah, the kids were taking good care, but someone I knew well and personal. And they didn't know, and subsequently she passed away at the time that Allah had ordained for her. Now it's a very, very challenging situation. And medically, what they would tell you? That if it is found in your genes, it's hereditary, you are predisposed to it, you are more susceptible to it. But the challenging part is there's no measures you can institute to reduce the risk of contracting the condition. So in diabetes, if it's hereditary, I'm no medical person. These are things we read and we hear, right? So please, there might be people that are medical and they might be more skilled and competent. So, but whatever things we have, I've sat on some medical panels to give Islamic perspective. So I've sat with doctors on radio stations and, you know, just a little, so kind of hear these things, yeah? But not that we understand all these things, yeah, these terminologies. I got like this little irritation on my back, yeah? I get it quite often. So I went to the doc. He says, Sheikh, this is called tinea vesicula. I'm like, no, talk my language, brother. What is this all about here? So it's a simple irritation, but that's a medical term that they use for it. So the point that we are saying is that at any time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can strike. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can strike. Our powers that we have, Allah can take it. So this condition, if you are in a situation where it is hereditary, then you are a stronger chance, but there's very little you can do to reduce that factor. Now, can you imagine you living in the fear of contracting it, yet there isn't any measures that could be taken away. So Allah speaks about His ability, that when I say, you know, we become proud of what we have, Allah says that, man, we've given you knowledge, we've given you power, and after that, as you age, we reduce you to childhood, and we you forget the basics, never mind your profession. We make you forget the basics. I know of a person who had lost of memory and a sense of direction. The challenge of this person was he lost the concept of male and female. So he would confuse genders. He would address a girl by a boy by a girl. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make it easy for everyone. The Quran says that don't be proud of what you have. Whatever we have, Allah can seize at any time as we talk in, Allah can take this away. Allah says, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ, those whom we give extended life to, وَمَن يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمَرِ, we return him to the worst age. And that is, we repeat childhood with him. And what happens? لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Basic Arabic grammar, yeah? لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ شَيْئًا نَكِرًا بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ. So that he knows nothing after knowing a lot. We make him oblivious of the basics after having studied the extras. So in his time, he was the dean of the faculty. In his time, he headed the entire unit. He was one of the top surgeons. But what happened? Parkinson hit home. Alzheimer's hit home. A medical condition hit home. I've heard of a person who was a lifesaver. And he saved hundreds of lives, but tragically had to succumb to drowning himself because he had a cramp in his stomach while he was under the water. A cramp. Just a simple stomach abdominal cramp went into spasm. Now, as much as you know what you have to do, but your body is not with you to do it, how can man have pride? How can man have arrogance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself deserves. That is why one person, whenever people used to praise him, so he used to enjoy. So someone said, you're very conceited. He said, no, I'm not enjoying it because they're not praising me, they're praising Allah. I don't deserve this, it's not my praise. Nothing is my own, each one of us. Whatever abilities Allah has given us, it is Allah given bounties. And every single day in front of our eyes, people have been given and taken. People have been blessed and people have been deprived. Every day it's happening. You don't have to look at remote, isolated, far incidents. In around your neighborhood, you would see it. Now let's reflect over the powers of Allah. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضٌ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٍ. Have they not seen the power of Allah in the birds above them spreading their wings out and folding them without falling down? It is only Rahman who keeps them suspended in the air. Verily, he is watchful over everything and has complete control over everything. Now we look at the flock of birds. We look at how high they fly and how smooth they glide and how beautiful a nest they make, that it looks so flimsy that it's going to collapse at any time. But storms have come and went and trees have fallen and the nest is intact in the gutter of that roof. Subhanallah. My children showed me a documentary and I said, wow, I'm slipping up which bird this is, that the male puts the twigs together, builds the nest, and then attracts a female. She comes, she first has a look at the house. I said, my word, is this even in the birds? She has a look at the nest. Now you look at the human intellect of studying these animals and understanding, right? And this is the thing, we're supposed to add value to our lives and not drop our abilities. They're saying that research is proving that animals have a greater level of emotions than perceived by humankind. So they have, you know, taken images of animals that have died and captured it and have showed it to other animals that lived in the neighborhood and showed it, and they have tried to study the emotions or expressions of those animals when they were shown dead animals. So the expressions indicate that they cannot communicate and converse, but there is some degree of lamenting, of regret, of communication. Last year, just before Ramadan, I was invited to Kenya, Nairobi. So we had some good programs, alhamdulillah, and then we flew to the Masai Mara to go see the great immigration of the wild beasts. National Geographic, people have read about it and everything, but this was a live migration to see where they come across from the Serengeti. And it's phenomenal, right? It's, and you know, I had some good friends that came with me and we did an air balloon. We had an aerial view of it and it was so amazing. It was one of my best safari tours, and it was, I don't want to tantalize you. We need to speak of what we speak in here. So they had come in their thousands and they cross over. But there was a particular place, and obviously we've seen the cats and the lions and the leopards and the cheetahs. And there was this zebra, baby zebra, that was obviously hunted down by a lion, and then it had its bite, and the vultures were now, you know, having their bit. And the mother zebra stood close up there, and she obviously we cannot read or relate, but she stood there and watched in isolation from all the other zebras, as the vultures were eating, as if she cried and lamented in pain. And I promise you, it was so sad and emotional that every one of us, they were actually with, you know, wet eyes. As much as we were seeing, and nobody can oppose, because this is nature at its best. This is the law of the wild, right? This is the system of the Almighty, that you're not feeding alive to a predator, but a predator is doing what it does by its instinct, and it mauls the zebra, drops it. Okay, we didn't see the hunt itself, but it was dropped down, it had its bite, and we've seen the vultures coming. And in a matter of time, the vultures had cleaned it up, and the zebra stood there and just stood there in like a mum would be in the waiting room of a doctor's surgery in anticipation and anxiety, and bit by bit this animal seen. So Allah has blessed these animals with great instincts and abilities. So the bird builds the nest, the female comes in, she has a look at it, and then if she's happy, good luck, they whatever, you know, get together and have mating, and it continues. And if she's unhappy, in his rage and disappointment, he dismantles the whole nest. He dismantles the entire nest twig by twig because she hasn't given it the green light. So we've been invited to look at the animals and learn from it. There's so much we can learn. Allah says, look at this bird. Look at how it flies. Look at how it glides. Look at how it flaps its wings, right? The law of gravity. Why doesn't it apply? The gravitational pull of the earth, that if you try and hop, gravity is going to draw you down. What happens? فَإِنَّ الثَّقِيلَ يَتَسَفَّلْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. Because anything with weight is going to be attracted by the law of gravity to the ground. But what allows this bird? What allows this bird, right? And your modern aircraft and everything, it is again mimicking the style and the usloob and the manner of that bird. How do these birds fly, and how they cross continents, and how they go in the search of their sustenance? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا. Won't they spare a moment? إِلَى الطَّيْرِ. And look at these birds. In another verse, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ فِي جَوِّ السَّمَاءِ. Suspended in mid-air. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. In the 14 Jews, none keeps them in air but Allah. Ya Allah says, none keeps them in air but Rahman. Even in that, the scholars explain in great detail, there Allah is making reference to the birds in mid-air. But Allah follows it by His great name, Allah. Ya Allah follows it by the name Rahman. Why does He come with the attribute Rahman? Even that, the scholars don't leave out, that this is an expression of His mercy, His kindness. And as humans, as mortals, variety, color, it adds flavor to us. You know, you're sitting in your patio, you see the sun rising, you see the ripples of the water, you see the birds chirping, all this just adds flavor. All this just creates a tranquil atmosphere. You want to hear early morning birds chirping, you don't hear dogs barking. Huh? Right. And dogs barking is the creation of Allah. Birds chirping, it is so therapeutic. It is so therapeutic. It is so relaxing. It adds flavor to our life. Go in a botanical garden. وَمَا ذَرَأَ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُ. Look at the variety and the color combination we've created. Go and see, go and see Avery and see the birds and the colors and the beaks and the, oh my word. I was once in the Maldives, right? And we spent some few days there. And subhanAllah, I'm not into snorkeling and all these things, but when you're there, you know, do whatever is what has to happen. So we were staying there, and it is, if you're looking for a destination as a honeymoon, take this down. All right. No regrets. My word. Breathtaking. Absolutely. So the house is on the stilts, and the water is absolutely transparent. And then you have these reef sharks and that, and they come and they nudge your feet, and it is crystal clear. And you see the sun setting, nature at its best. And then all the verses just crowd your mind, looking at the sun, the water, the birds, the variety. And you say, my Lord, if this is what earth. And the best part of it is the island in which we stayed was called Paradise. Right, Paradise Island. So I said, imagine if I go here, what are you going to tell the world? We buried Sheikh in Jannah. May Allah grant us Jannah in its real form, inshallah. May Allah grant us Jannah in its real form. Right. So the point I'm saying is, look at this. And this is the beauty. Islam doesn't say shun and forsake. But Islam says, look with the deeper eye. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَانِ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٍ Allah is watching everything. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَانِ إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ Besides Rahman, who can be your army to assist you against calamities and problems? Who else? Who else? A father says, a son has arrogance, he says, who pays your bills? Who puts gas in your car? Who takes care of your mobile phone? Who pays your fears? And you say, your friend, okay, wait, dear, let me pull the plug and I want to see what your friend does. I want to see what your friend does. When you're out in the cold and you realize only your family and only your parents do for you, leave the claim of your father, he does X amount. Leave the claim of your mother, she does X amount. Your creator does everything for you. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي Besides Allah, who could there possibly be an army? Who could you mobilize? يَنْصُرُكُمْ Who could aid you? Besides Allah. And if you say it's your isms, if you say it's your objects, if you say it's your allies, then إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ They are in utter loss if they believe that their deities or gods can assist them. That's a deception. That's a delusion. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that can aid and assist. And besides Allah, nobody else can assist. And we see it happening. And this is another message of the Quran. I'm trying to just condense it. When we are in a crisis, then we call out to the Creator very desperately. But no sooner does Allah rectify or reform or assist, there's a change in our tone, there's a change in our attitude, there's a change in our body language. The man is a different person. So prior to the operation, you go and meet him, he's in the intensive care, they're preparing him up. You know, this gentleman was going for an operation, so he's very stressed up and all that. So the doctor said to him, what's it? He says, you know, doc, it's the first time I'm going to have surgery done on me. So the surgeon said, don't worry, my friend. It's the first time I'm operating also. My word, that's the last thing I need to know before an operation. I need a man with 30 years of experience and no failures. I don't want to know it's the first time you're operating. That just adds to my stress. So you meet the man just before he's going in. And what's the nature? He is like, Sheikh, you know, I told them, my trust is in my Creator. You can do X amount. I rely on the Almighty. And I'm reading this prayer and I'm asking Allah and you must pray for me. And really, really, you know, mashallah, impressive. All acknowledgement to him that he's got his focus on the Almighty. The operation was successful. He's recovering. Progress is happening steadily. The next day you meet him. You know what? I've got to compliment this surgeon. Man. This man is amazing. This guy is brilliant. This clinic is awesome. But your tone was very, very different yesterday because yesterday it was very precarious. It was very uncertain. You didn't know how was this going to turn. So your whole reliance was exclusive on the Almighty. Now that you've crossed the danger mark, you've crossed the danger zone. So now you start your attitude and your arrogance. And the Quran has spoken about that 1,000 times. إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ You are in a deception. You are in a delusion if you believe anybody else can aid you and assist you. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can assist you. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهِ بَلْ لَجُّ فِي عُتُوبٍ وَنُفُورٍ Allahu Akbar. Who can give you sustenance if he who sustains you, Allah stops providing for you? No one else. Look here, there's two ways. Sometimes Allah can stop providing for you. Sometimes he can provide in abundance for you, but your medical condition doesn't allow you to indulge in that food. There are people who own empires, but the dog of that house eats better than the owner of that house. That man, no, I cannot eat. Doctors haven't allowed me at all. And that dog is having the best of meat and the best of food. And the owner of that house, in English they say, and this is one of the best, you know, for health sayings that I really like. They say, eat your food like medicine. Otherwise you'll have to eat your medication like food. Eat, and today, who eats food like medication? Read all this, you know, healing and eating. And my dad, may Allah reward him, he always sits us down and read this and eat this and avoid this and, you know, try this. And you know, you try. I mean, me personally, I'll tell you, there's one thing I read about microwaves and since then I don't have it. And I'm still grappling with my kids. right? You can read it up, all these waves and artificial and what it does. But there's so many things today. Today everything is so superficial. Everything is on the run. Meal on wheels, right? Meals on wheels, just buy it. It's take it out from frozen, heat it and pack it and bake it and you eat it. And you realize you are what you eat. You are what you eat. And read all these gadgets and things that we're doing and these waves and the food and what it does and that there's nothing like you saying it's organic and everything, but what is organic? What is organic? You're saying you're lactose and you're intolerant towards milk. It's not lactose intolerant, but it is the kind of injections we're giving to the cattle and the cows, and that is why it's breeding all these other type of things. And then afterwards you discover that you thought you were eating beef and you weren't eating beef and you were eating horse meat. Right? And then he's like, no, it's a big debate. Oh my word, where does this thing go? Where does this thing go? Eat your food like medication, or else you'll have to eat your medication like food. And that's what it is. People have this big, you say, no, give him a nice gift. What's it? Give him a nice medication container. Huh? Because the man has morning, afternoon, evening, before, after, early morning, 3, 2 a.m., p.m., whatever it is, this whole thing, and put it together. And you know, if you take a lot of these small grandchildren, the only thing they got to do is for the grandparents is give meds and pop tablets, you know. Give Dada one tablet, give Daddy one tablet. That's it. Pop medication. That's it. Put one here, drink. Poop. But pop another one. That's what it's boiled down to. Anyway, so one is Allah can withhold the sustenance. And the other thing is Allah can give you all the sustenance, but your health doesn't. Either way, you have been stripped of it. Either way. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقًا. Who can give you sustenance if he who sustains you, if he who sustains you, that is Allah, stops providing for you, no one else. However, despite acknowledging that only Allah sustains them, they, the kuffar, adamantly continue their rebellion and enmity for the truth of Tawheed. بَلْ لَجُّ لَجَّ يَلُجُّ لَجَّا بَلْ لَجُّ فِي عُتُوِّ وَنُفُورٍ. They know their feebleness, yet their attitude. They know their arrogance. They know that Allah can seize and grab, yet they continue. This is really tragic. If a particular student wants to study in a university and his colleague, due to persistent evil behavior, multiple demerits, and then was subjected to expulsion. Now, after seeing the expulsion of your colleague, you know you need to study. There isn't any other university that's going to take you. And you've just seen the fate of a colleague that was arrogant, and you still persist on that attitude. Then you know what? That's the recipe of disaster. That's the recipe of disaster. What more can you say for that person? You've seen how the creation are provoking the wrath of Allah. You've seen the anger and the rage of Allah. And you and I still contribute to the wrath and the anger of Allah by perpetrating and continuing our evil. May Allah guide us, open our hearts. Allahumma aftah aqfala qulubina. Oh Allah, unlock that which has blocked our hearts from the truth. أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Is the one who walks upside down on his face more rightly guided, more likely to reach his destination, or he who walks upright on the straight path? Right, that is the translation. This is the brief commentary. In a like manner, the believer who walks the straight path of Islam without swaying to neither extreme, nor is more likely to attain salvation in the akhirah than the kafir who has no direction in life. So what is the question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking? أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي, the one who is walking, مُكِبًّا, upside down, a person who is walking on his head. Number one, can you imagine this here? And then the scholars have also explained walking on an uneven terrain, on an uneven terrain. So one is a flat surface, right? A person driving on a flat open road on the motorway, he could be driving at a particular speed, and another person covering the same amount of miles, but it's a winding road. Obviously, the one on straight, flat terrain can do it much faster because it's easy. On the other hand, for that person, it's winding, there's decline, there's incline, you cannot attain that. And that is both moving in car. So the point I'm saying that the terrain has a big difference in terms of the mileage that you cover. So there is this rough terrain, there is this uneven terrain, and a man walking upside down versus a person walking on a flat surface and walking correctly. Who would reach their destination first? And who would ever reach? Never mind first. It is clear, it's abundantly clear. In the very same way, a believer, the path of Islam is free from extremes, provided he treads the path objectively and correctly. And the manner in which he lives his life, that is the correct life. In fact, one scholar gave a beautiful analogy. Sometimes you rush in. So you dash out of the masjid and you just put your shoes on. And in rushing, you know, you sometimes when you rush, you end up slower than average. Because that rush creates so much problem. So you rush in and everything, and you slip your left shoe onto your right foot, and your right shoe onto your left foot, and you know, now I cannot stop and I cannot change it, I'm late. But what happens is you take 10 steps and you say, listen, if I'm not going to stop and change my shoes, I'm going to fall and I won't do anything. And that's what the scholar said. He said, if your shoe is wrong, you can't walk physically in your life. If your whole life is wrong, how are you going to progress with your Creator? If your whole life is up there, if one shoe is wrong, you cannot inch forward, never mind leap. You cannot inch, never mind leap. If your whole life is wrong, if it's upside down, your priorities are upside down. You take the average youngster today, in the night, when the whole world sleeps, he's awake. And when the whole world is awake, he's sleeping. That's the typical thing, right? He gets this withdrawal symptoms and he's suicidal. Suicidal. It's like a joke. Everything is suicidal. Anything you do, I'd rather die. I wish I'd die. What? Like a threat. You know? And when I gather here, everybody speaks Urdu kind of thing here, right? There's this beautiful proverb in Urdu. They say, Ab to ghabra ke ye kehte hai ke mar jayenge. Mar ke bhi chain na paaya to kidhar jayenge. Ab to ghabra ke ye kehte hai ke mar jayenge. Mar ke bhi chain na paaya to kidhar jayenge. Now in a fit of rage and depression, hey, I just wish I died. But then after you died, if nothing came right, then where are you going to go? Where are you going to go from there? One, you can change your grave. I'm not happy with room service. What happens then, my brother? أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ So a life that you lead in an incorrect way will have to catch up with you. There's no two ways about it. Every sin, it's got a period, and its period is how long Allah allows you and gives you grace, and Allah Ta'ala gives you clemency. But that sin and that wicked and that evil has to haunt you, bite you, and come back to eat you. That is the system. You cannot continue life. So the path of Tawheed, the path of obedience is the correct path and it's the straight path. And that is the path. And in one narration it comes, the explanation to this ayah is that the criminal, the sinner, the transgressor will walk upside down on the day of Qiyamah. So the Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, how will a person walk reversed, upside down on his head on the day of Qiyamah? And the Prophet ﷺ said, and this was his beautiful teachings. This was his beautiful teachings. He said, the one who has allowed them to walk on their feet, doesn't he possess the ability to make them walk on their heads? The Nabi of Allah, you know, his analogies was just too profound. When he spoke about that the sickness is not contagious. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, but this camel came into contact with that camel and that's how it became sick. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and then the first camel came into contact with who? La adwa. And then the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do you know when you share the bed with your spouse and you have relation, you will be rewarded? And the Sahaba said, أَيَأْتِي أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَكُونُ لَهُ فِي I'm just giving you the nature of his answers. Profound. Profound. O Nabi of Allah, but I am sharing the bed with my spouse. I'm indulging in my fantasy. How can I be rewarded for it? And the Nabi of Allah said, but is it not that if you indulge in your fantasy with a strange woman, you'll be punished? So he said, yes. So then isn't it but correct that when you do it right, you must be rewarded? That this is how he reasoned. O Nabi of Allah, I mean, I'm happy that I'll be rewarded, but why would I be rewarded? I mean, I would just think that I won't be punished. I got married and I'm satisfying my need and I'm sharing the bed and that's it. You will be rewarded of charity. But O Nabi of Allah, why? I'm satisfied. But oh my companions, is it not that when you satisfy the same need in the incorrect place, you would be punished? Yes, it is. So by the same logic, when you would satisfy it in the correct way, by the parameters of Islam, according to the boundaries, you will be rewarded. And continuously like this, you would find the Nabi of Allah. So they come out, it's a bright moonlit night, and everybody is just looking at the beautiful moon and enjoying it. And he said, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمْرِ لَا تُضَمُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ. As you marvel at the beauty of the moon from your respective location without crowding anyone, you would be privileged with the countenance of your Creator on the day of Qiyamah in Jannah without crowding or rushing over anyone. There is this beautiful kitab, and now it's translated in English as well, Ar-Rasulul Mu'allim wa Asalibuhu fi Ta'lim. It's translated by a South African scholar. It's authored by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda. You must lay your hands on it. It is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a tutor and his teaching methodology. It's an amazing book. It's an amazing book. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a tutor, as a teacher, as a guider, and his teaching methodology. Both for a guardian, a teacher, a parent, anyone who is in any position of guardianship, it gives you great insight into the approach and the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was so amazing. He mentions that hadith, it's in Mu'atta, in the kitab, it just came to mind, so I'll just touch on it and move on. I had to give a talk once to, not too long ago, to the teachers of one school. You know, they'd gathered all the staff and they'd asked me to give a talk, so I shared some extracts of that book in that particular discourse of mine. So anyway, a particular sahabi, he comes into the masjid, the prayer has commenced. And in the passion to secure the rak'ah, he's seen that the imam had bowed down into ruku. So he said, if I'm going to run up to the surf, I would lose the rak'ah. By the time I get there and then I join the prayer, it would be too late. So what he did was, he joined at the door and he started walking in prayer. Allah Allah. So there was a bit of a shuffle in the background. You could make out there's a bit of movement and everything, and he's coming. Now look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, one is, oh, you started from the door. You must rather start at home and come, man. You can make sajda on the road. You know, and what you do, you demoralize the person completely. But there were two things that had to happen here. This man's spirit needed to be appreciated and acknowledged, and the correct principle needed to be impressed upon him. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I salute your spirit. May Allah reward you and increase you in your passion, but the action is wrong. My word. Zadakallahu hirsan. Your passion, I love it. It's amazing. When are we going to pray? Subhanallah. Okay. So let me just end this here, and then we can maybe have a break and then do the question and answer. So I thought we were running right through. I didn't realize this yet. Anyway, so the point is, the hadith says that they will stand up on the day of Qiyamah on their heads. So the Sahaba said, how is that possible? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the very being who made them walk on their feet will make them walk on their heads. That's it. Again, embracing the powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's abilities. If our mind wants everything through the logic and our understanding and our limited understanding, then such a person will have great difficulty when it comes to belief. And belief not only in Islam, in believing in any religion, belief will call you to a point that you've got to surrender to a greater being higher than your mind and your intellect. Because that's the teachings of every Nabi. That is the teachings of every Nabi. A person went through some tragedy and then he went to counsel it, and counsel after counsel after counsel asked him what happened. In the end he said, they told me in a very flowery language that, you know what, the tragedies that come, you have to surrender to realize that this is outside your control. So I said, but that's the beginning that we would say to a person from the word go. That's what taqdeer is. So you went for 5 sessions and they charge you an arm and a leg, and what they told you in the end is what we tell you in the beginning. That's it. What is destiny? What is taqdeer? What is faith? Fate. It is to believe that Allah is above and He is in control above the situation and He has the powers. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Say, it is Allah who created you and gave you ears, eyes and hearts, and every other faculty for which you cannot ever repay Him. How can you ever repay Him? And I mean, it's simple, right? If you don't pay your water bill, they cut your service. If you don't pay your phone bill, they terminate your service. And I don't pay the bill of my eyes, nay, I abuse it, but Allah continues to give me vision and Allah continues to give me the ability to see. And if imagine if Allah had to say, every time you abuse your sight, it would gradually weaken. Every time you abuse your hearing, it would gradually weaken. Every time you abuse your tongue, gradually you'll become dumb. We would have been blind, deaf and dumb today. We would have been blind, deaf and dumb. We would have lost all our faculties. The beauty is Allah gives it to you whether you pay the bill or you don't pay the bill. But remember, the consequences are grave in Akhirah. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ This is exactly it. Besides failing to express verbal gratitude, many people even fail to use the favors of Allah in a manner that pleases Him. Qaleel, very few of you are grateful, or you express gratitude very little. And like some scholars say, Al-Qilla bi-ma'na al-adam, that your little bit means virtually nothing, virtually nothing. How must we be grateful? You know, sometimes we say, I don't know how to thank Allah. And it's just an easy way out because we don't want to thank. You know, sometimes they say you want to invite or you want to introduce a prominent person. You say he's well known. It's a short way because you don't want to introduce him. I'm not saying that, don't. I'm an ordinary man, my brother, and I have nothing. I'm saying sometimes we duck behind realities. Right? We take shelter behind things. I don't know how to thank Allah, really, man. Allah is so, I just don't know how. Correct, my brother. You can never thank Allah adequately, but He tells you how you must thank Him. اعملوا آل داود شكرا وقليل من عبادي الشكور. Oh, the family of Dawood, and via them, by extension, everyone, display your gratitude. Walk the talk. Exhibit the claim. Manifest the claim. Don't just say it, display it. Dad, I love you. I love you. Show it. In fact, I say to my kids often when they come and they, you know, around you, and Dad, you're the best father. I say, okay, leave that for later. How much money you want? Right? Why? Because you're an ATM, right? You're an ATM. They just, you know that. And as they grow up, the demands get more, the challenges are more, and each one is, but I only ask you this, and I only need this, and this, and that. And subhanAllah, today the challenge with youth are such that everything they do, you need to thank them, pat them, appreciate them, acknowledge them. Jazakallah, my son, you performed your Fajr Salah. May Allah, I'm so happy. It's almost like he's done you a favor. But hang on, you're a grown-up Muslim. You fear Allah. You need to know that. Yeah, but I prayed my Fajr. Yeah, but why on me? Why on me? Why are you saying that to me? I'm happy you did it. But I need you to understand you're an individual, independent, sane, matured, intellectual human. You have a creator to face. I have a creator to face. You should be doing this driven by your own sound logic, reasoning and understanding of Islam. The Prophet ﷺ told, but it doesn't work with the kids of today. It doesn't work. You've got to, that was very kind of you. Every day up. And whatever you have done for them, it's your duty. It's your duty. I mean, you're the dad. You know, they will do it. What else? So may Allah guide, may Allah protect, may Allah make it easy. These are the challenges we're living through, and you know, we have to contend with it. I just have a thought in my mind and I'll just share it quickly. Ka'b radiallahu anhu, Ka'b, right? When the social boycott was imposed on him because he had not participated in Tabuk. Just think of the richness of that society. And the Prophet said, right, keep away from Ka'b. And he told the woman folk, keep away. Three Sahaba, Hilal bin Umayyah, Ka'b bin Malik, three of them. Social boycott, nobody to meet with them. Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, the Medina in which I walk became strange to me, became foreign to me, because the whole society was away from me. This aversion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a disciplinary measure was being exploited by other elements at that time. The king of Ghassan, he wrote him a letter, hey Ka'b, I'm sorry to know that your prophet has ditched you. He's launched you. He's forsaken you. Hey, hang on, you don't need this in your life. Come with us, we'll give you all respect, amnesty, and we'll take good care of you. Imagine you're having a blow with your partner and you walk out there and a woman gives you a broad smile and say, you know, you have such charming character. Oh, whoa. You cannot resist it even when things are good at home. And here things are bad at home, and here somebody is warm and gentle and passive and loving and caring to you. What happens to you? He said, "Ilhaq bina nuwa." The Prophet ﷺ knows that my companion is being invited by others. He didn't say, okay, end the boycott and call him home quickly. Call him, okay, come, we're happy with you. Kaab, we're happy with you, come back. No, there was a discipline that was taking place. And Kaab knew that my Nabi's aversion was only for my benefit. He took that paper and he tore it and he burnt it there and there. He said, I'm better off with an angry Nabi than an happy enemy. I'm better off with an angry Nabi. My brother, you are better off with your legal, lawful spouse that might have an issue with you, but you're going back home, than having an illicit, strange woman who's giving you all the promises and love and comfort and whatever else. My boy, you are better off with an angry parent that might expel you from the house than taking shelter in some supposed friend who's promising you the world only to ditch you. But today you cannot do it. If he goes out, he might pick up an accomplice and do something wrong. Okay, sorry, my son, I'm wrong. You come home. Because if he goes, he will do something. He doesn't have the brains and he'll lose it and he'll do worse and I'll cry more. The Prophet knows Kaab is outside. Temptations are coming around him. But his plan is on track. May Allah grant us understanding. Time is up. Just wrap up these ayat here. We complete here. So, huwalladhi, qul huwalladhi anshaakum. Say it is Allah who created you and gave you ears, eyes and heart and every other faculty for which you cannot repay him. However little is the gratitude that you show. Besides failing to express verbal gratitude, many people even fail to use the favors of Allah in a manner that pleases him. And the scholar says, Ibn Ali said, the minimum gratitude is that you don't use his bounties in his disobedience. I mean, I said this and I said it to my kids. I said, back in the days, children were born with straight teeth and they spoke straight words. Today they're born with crooked teeth, right? I don't know how expensive orthodontics are here, but I know I had to do it. I'm busy with the third orthodontic in my house here. And I'm like spending this money to straighten your teeth only for you to spurt venom at me. Ya Allah, I'm straightening my son's teeth. And I'm investing in him only for him to throw out those nasty words that my dad did nothing for me. What has he done for me? And it cost you an arm and a leg and straightening this and that. If only we were, because it's a cosmetic world. If only we were concerned about the straight speech as much as we're concerned about straight teeth, I think society would have been a different place altogether. But today, let the speech be at its may, as long as the teeth, you know what, the jaw, the bite, everything is good, it looks nice. And in terms of the speech, nothing. Back in the days, it was the speech was straight. But today we've lost it. May Allah guide us. May Allah grant us the understanding. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. It is Allah who spread you out on earth. And it is to Him that you shall be gathered after death. ذَرَأَ, Allah spread you out. Look at the creation of Allah. And Sayyidina Adam and Hawa came on this earth. Our ancestor, father and mother. Right? And how many billion people have populated, come and gone, and will continue to come? Allah has spread you out. Allah will assemble you on the day of Qiyamah. I'm just concluding it up because the time has basically lapsed. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. They, the kuffar, say, when will the promise of Qiyamah take place if you are truthful? So they mock you, they scoff at you. You're talking of Qiyamah? So when is it coming? Let's see when it's happening. In other words, it will not happen. I dare you. They were so provocative in their words, they told Sayyidina Nuh, we tired of your empty warnings. You want to tell your Lord to strike now. Right? Some say it verbally, others say it with their body language. قَالُوا يَا نُوحُ قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا. Nuh, we tired of all your empty threats and all that. And they told Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّ قُولُ إِلَّا اعْتَرَاكَ بَعْدُ آلِهَتِنَا بِسُوءٍ. You're the only man who's coming with strange claims. Looks like you abnormal and we normal. And I think the problem is with you and not us. And that is because you've opposed our isms. They have inflicted that harm on you. These were the kind of nasty things they said to the prophets. قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. Say to them, O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this knowledge about when Qiyamah will take place lies exclusively, only and solely with Allah. I am only a clear warner, warning you about its arrival so that you prepare for it. One thing we need to understand here, Nadir in Arabic means warner. But warner not just merely conveying. The Arabic grammar of the word Nadir includes in its discussion a passionate warner. So a Nabi doesn't just disseminate a message or doesn't just discharge a duty. Listen, I told you, they're calling you, you want to go, you go, you don't want to, tough luck. No, that's not a Nabi. Passionate, love, care, concern, calling out, crying, screaming, yelling, begging, imploring. That's a Nabi. The highest level of passion and conviction and concern, motivated by that and then warning the people. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً سِيئَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَقِيلَ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ. When they will see the punishment of Akhirah approaching close, the faces of the kuffar will contort, disfigure with fear, and it would be said, this is what you used to ask for. Now you ask, but when it's going to come? I say to the kids a simple analogy. You know, you see the children when a dog is tied and it's got a leash around and the children are running and they are teasing the dog and they're throwing stones at the dog. But let that dog be loose, then you want to change path. Then you want to, you know, I don't like this road, I like that other road. Nothing to do with the road, because now that's a dog that is out. So as long as it's tied up, you're provoking it, you're teasing it, you're doing all your things. You call in on the adab, because the adab is not coming. But let that adab come. The Quran says amongst the baseless requests the disbelievers had made, they said, you know what? We won't believe in Allah till we don't see the angels. We want to see the angels. So Allah said, tell them, what an audacity to dictate and demand who they want to see. And by the way, tell them the day they see the angels, angels come with adab. They don't come with celebrations. Huh? We're having a party, angels are coming down, we're having a carnival, it's a recreation, please bring your balloons, come early, we've been serving biryani. No! يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَا بُشْرَى. Tell them the day they see the angels, they don't want to see them. They won't want to see them. Angels are something, they're going to come with adab, they're not going to come and it's all like happy and excitement and all joyous and all that. What arrogance for you to ask, and when the day you see it, you won't want to see it. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ, when they see it, زُلْفَةً, زُلْفَة means close up. سِيَأَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, then their faces will turn pale and they would lose color, because they will realize it's coming their way. That fear is hitting home, it's hitting home. وَقِيلَ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ. This is what you were calling for, you were crying for, here it lies in your lap, deal with it now. But alas, it's too late. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Let me give you a translation of this, independent of what's written here, just time. Say unto them, أَرَأَيْتُمْ, have you given thought? Have you applied your mind? Have you realized, in, if, أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ, Allah was to give me death, Allah was to cause my death, وَمَنْ مَعِي, and my companions, which you hoping for, because they prayed always that you will die. نَتَرَبَّسُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ. This man's faith will end shortly, he will die and that Islam will be over. So he'll die and that will be the end. It won't go beyond the boundaries and the peninsula of Arabia. So okay, hypothetically, you are right and I die and my companions. But how does that help you? You're still going to die and you're going to have to contend with it yourself. In other words, the Quran is saying to them, you are hoping, praying, and anticipating the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as if your prayer is going to be answered, number one. Number two, even hypothetically, if he passed away, how does that rescue you? It's like a person drowning and someone else is drowning. And you say, ah, you're drowning, eh? You're drowning. And what about you? If you're standing at the shore and you're laughing, it's a separate thing. I don't say do that, but I can still understand the logic. But you're drowning yourself and you're deeper than him. And you're saying, yeah. You're gasping for breath, eh? You think you're good. What? You're sitting and saying to the believers that what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to them? What about yourself? What's about yourself? Oh, rahimana, oh, if Allah has mercy on us and Allah forgives us and Allah grants us paradise, which is the reality, but you don't believe. This is a dialogue of the Quran. Say unto them that وَإِنَّا أَوْ إِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَىٰ هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Muhammad says, you know you're on the truth, but they're not going to accept it. So say to them, one of us are following the correct, one of us are following the wrong thing. قُلْ كُلُّمْ مُتَرَبِّسٌ فَتَرَبَّسُوا. You waiting to see what is correct, I'm waiting to see. Qiyamah will dictate who was correct and who was incorrect. I'm telling you it's myself and I'm inviting you, but you're not accepting it. Now let time prove what is the correct thing. فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ. Answer this question, O disbelievers. Whatever happens to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a separate thing. Who's going to rescue you? Attend with your own situation, deal with your situation. And I think there's a deep message here. You wish for this, you pray for this, you hope for this. All those are in its places. But that doesn't absolve you of your duty to get up and pray for Fajr. You say, I hope if this happens, whether that happens or this happens or whatever, you are still duty bound by the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to do that. You can pray for the best, hope for the best, wish for the best. But your duties are your duties. And the conditions that is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Say unto them, it is Rahman upon whom we have brought faith, and it is upon him we rely. Our reliance is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never despair in the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never give up hope in the mercy of Allah. وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. We rely on Allah. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ. This is in many places of the Quran. مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. You will realize who is in manifest error. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ أَصْحَابُ الصِّرَاطِ السَّوِيِّ وَمَنْ اِهْتَدَى. You will see who was guided, who was on the correct path and who was not. فَسَوْفَ تَرَى إِذَا انْكَشَفَ الْغُبَارُ فَرَسٌ تَحْتَ رِجْلِكَ أَمْ حِمَارُ. The Arabic poet says, now the dust is flying high, so everybody is moving. We don't know if you mounted on a horse or on a donkey. He said, no, I got a stallion, my horse is like this. Oh, really good, eh? And he's moving away. Then wait, this dust settled, the sun rose. Hey, he's on a donkey. He claimed something and what it is. But because it was dusty, the atmosphere was covered, the view was obscured. So in this world, everybody can claim. Everybody's got a tongue and you can claim. But the time will come. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ. You will realize. مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Who is in a manifest error. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاؤُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَا إِمَّعِينَ. If the kuffar still adamantly refuse to accept Allah as the only ilah, then say to them, tell me if your water sinks to the depth of the earth beyond your reach, which one of your gods can provide you with pure water? When their gods cannot even provide them with water, how will they possibly save them from Allah's punishment? So these are 30 verses. Allah concludes it, and let us all say, فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. The answer comes, we must say Allah. Say Allah, brothers.
Allah.
Yeah. So this is the nature. The Prophet ﷺ, wherever questions are asked in the Quran, he used to reply. Allah would say, for example, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Is Allah not the best judge? Then you would find, بَلَا, you're most certainly Allah you are. أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ. A father, he said, who pays your bills? Who takes care of this? Who does this here? He's expecting an answer, Dad, it's you. And what he says, who else? Of course it's me. I hope you realize that you need to know it properly. So Allah asks us these questions and we need to reply modestly, Allah, it is only you. Allah, it is only you. If Allah were to cause the water to go deep down in the ground and deny you access and deny you rain from the clouds, where would you reach out to water, which is the main cause of survival for man? And if you see in the tafsir, it is written, again, may Allah save us from arrogance. Arrogance, oh, it is cancer times three. It's not benign, to use a medical term, it's malignant. It spreads. It kills you. So when this verse was read before one proud person, he said, bil fu'usi wal ma'awil, it's mentioned in Jalalain. He said, with technology, we will access water regardless of how deep it is into the ground. فَذَهَبَ مَاءُ عَيْنِهِ فَعَمِيَ. Allah dried up the water of his eye socket and he became blind at the same time. So Allah asked the question, if I have to seize the water and deny you access, he said, no, technology. I've got my contact. I've got my pool. I can mobilize. We know how to operate. We're long in the game. It's coming down for generations. Okay, whoa. Almost like you're going to tell the angel of death, just wait, I'm busy. Like, wait, I'm busy, man. You don't walk in here. Nobody barges in here. No. Almost with that attitude, like you're going to stop the angel of death. إِنَّ الْحَبِيبَ مِنَ الْأَحْبَابِ مُخْتَلَسُ لَا يَمْنَعُ الْمَوْتَ بَوَّابٌ وَلَا حَرَسُ. فَكَيْفَ تَفْرَحُ بِالدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتِهَا مَنْ يُعَدُّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّفْزُ وَالنَّفَسُ قَدْ كَانَ قَصْرُكَ ذَا شَرَفٍ فَقَبْرُكَ فِي الْأَجْدَاثِ مُنْجَلِدُ لَا يَتْرُكُ الْمَوْتُ ذَا جَاهٍ لِعِزَّتِهِ وَلَا الَّذِي مِنْهُ الْعِلْمُ يُقْتَبَسُ. Verily a person would be abducted from his beloveds. لَا يَمْنَعُ الْمَوْتَ بَوَّابٌ وَلَا حَرَسُ. No doorkeeper, no butler, no security, no authority can put the restriction on the angel of death. Listen, I'm manning this place here. There's security, there's protocol in your form here. What's your name? Date of birth? Registration? مَبَلَكُ الْمَوْتُ. What's your job? Taking out souls. When last you do, don't talk, I'll take yours out now. No, he comes. If you board a flight, he boards. If you get a visa, he gets a visa. If you don't, he's not. That is the reality. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to connect with the Quran. And I sincerely ask Allah that our get together here today, may it have profound spiritual effects on myself, firstly on the brothers and the sisters. May the fruits of this program continue as a legacy for the institution and the organizers. And may people continue to learn and draw and benefit from this particular discourse. And inshallah, it propels us to greater heights in connecting with the Quran. Allah grant us all the understanding, forgive us for our shortcomings, and make us amongst the people of the Quran, that the Quran will testify in our favor and not against us. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.